is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Israel is at war, my friends. Israel is at war, from the Jerusalem Post. 2 days of dizzying escalation, and there can be no illusions. Israel is at war. There are those who have branded this latest conflict a continuation of Israel's war of independence, but there's no truth in that assertion. The Jewish state's assailants are indeed pursuing a territorial ambition to unseat Israel from its own sovereign land, and I might indicate land deeded to Israel by God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Today on Viewpoint, we take a look at these developments again. We have a special guest joining us with his wonderful book, Judgment Day. What a title, friends, and what a title for such a time as this. Judgment Day. There is coming a day, the scripture says, when God will indeed judge the earth, and we're not talking about the final white throne judgment. We're talking about judging the nations of the earth for their treatment of Israel. And indeed, God is going to do that. You'll recall back in the book of Genesis, God told Abraham, he said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And God has not forgotten his promise. God is not like fickle-minded Americans. When he speaks the truth, and he intends to keep his word. He doesn't excuse it. He doesn't make excuses for it. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't put spin on it. He doesn't travel in the spin zone. No, God lives in a no-spin zone. He tells us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and he keeps his word. And so today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at that. We're going to see how, in fact, God does continue to keep his word, and he is God. Joining us today on Viewpoint, Dave Hunt. He is a wonderful Christian brother. He's joined us here before on Viewpoint today with his book, Judgment Day. Dave, this is an extraordinary moment, isn't it, in world history?
I believe it is, Chuck. It's hard to understand or discern exactly where this is going, but, of course, these terrorists, the Arab nations, the Muslims, is what we're really talking about. This is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
They've been provoking Israel for forever almost. They demand that Israel not exist. They have attacked Israel so many times, sneak attacks, full-scale war. They have said it again and again and again, we will wipe out Israel. So I don't know whether you would call this preemptive action on the part of Israel. Of course, they were invaded by Hezbollah. They came into Israel, killed soldiers, took two captive. And then, of course, the Palestinians, so-called, tunneled into Israel. And again, they took one captive. Well, that's an act of war.
Well, we see this happening in the Gaza Strip, and no sooner did Israel try to deal with that than Syria is stirring up Hezbollah in the north, in Lebanon, and they began to attack. So Israel's under attack from the north and from the south, and Israel did not begin those attacks, so it'd be hard to call it a preemptive attack. We're looking at, actually, I believe this is the fomenting of the intentional fomenting by Syria and by Iran of the events to stir up the world so that Islam can have its moment in history and use this as the moment of truth to take over the world.
Yeah, Chuck, what I meant by preemptive is it's preemptive to what they were intending to do further. So I think
I see.
Just moved in and
yeah,
tried to bring this thing to a halt, show them we're going to take a tough stand on this. We don't want any more of this nonsense.
Well, you say right at the top of your new book, Judgment Day, that the truth is more devastating than fiction, and I find that to be true, and that's why we so much want to put a spin on the truth these days. And, of course, one of the greatest spins that we put on truth has to do with the issue of Islam and the Muslim world. Our president, the most powerful man in the free world, has over and over again told the world, his own nation, that Islam is a wonderful, loving, and peaceful religion. Since 9/11, has for 4 or 5 years now inaugurated the Ramadan holiday for Islam by opening up a great dinner for imams in the White House, America's National House. And he has choreographed, in fact, the Islamic world and basically told us it's wonderful, it's cool. This is a great, wonderful religion. And not only that, Dave, he has told us that Jews, Muslims, and Christians worship the same God. Now, I'm having a very difficult time, I've got to admit, with a man who professes to be a born-again Christian who has missed the most fundamental truth of what it means to be a Christian, and that is that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. What do you say?
Yeah, Chuck, I have the same difficulty. It's incredible. Judgment Day, in fact, my book was put into the president's hands. I mean, personally, it wasn't mailed. It was by a personal friend. It was put in his hands. I haven't heard anything from him. But you mentioned Ramadan. Yes, he does host this big supper afterwards. Just a word or two about Ramadan. Of course, he's not the only one. Clinton did the same. Other presidents have done the same, catering to Islam. But President Bush, I think, has gone even a bit farther. He last Ramadan, he proudly told the Muslim world that there now is a copy of the Quran in the White House library.
Mm.
He has told them, he has praised Muhammad as a prophet of God. He has called the Quran the Word of God. Well, what the Quran says, just in a nutshell, Jesus is not God. He is not the Son of God. He did not die for our sins on the cross. Someone died in his place rather than Christ dying in our place. Anyone who believes in the Trinity goes straight to hell. The Quran says to Muslims, make no friendship with a Christian or a Jew. Now, this Feast of Ramadan, a 30-day supposed fast,
mm-hmm.
The truth is that the Muslims eat and drink more during that 30-day period than in any other 30-day period. They fast, supposedly, from sunrise till sunset, but then they feast. Now, this is nothing new. This is not a Muslim celebration. This was practiced, and we document all of this in the book Judgment Day. This was practiced by pagan Arabs for centuries before Muhammad was born.
Well, we want to talk more about this in great detail when we get back. Friends, we're talking with Dave Hunt concerning his book, Judgment Day. Stay tuned. You're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint determines destiny. We'll be right back. Please don't leave us. Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said an Israeli strike on Syria would be considered an attack on the entire Islamic world that would bring a fierce response. He said if the Zionist regime commits another stupid move and attacks Syria, this will be considered like attacking the whole Islamic world, and the regime will receive a very fierce response. He said that on Iranian state television today. Israel has blamed Syria and Iran for the Hezbollah rocket attacks on towns and cities in the northern part of Israel. In recent weeks, Israel has buzzed the palace of Assad with fighter bombers as a warning against hostile actions. Ahmadinejad has called repeatedly for the destruction of Israel, as you know. Israel is believed to be developing nuclear weapons. Iran is believed to be developing nuclear weapons programs and has long-range missile capability of striking the Jewish state. Now, this thing is heating up over there. I hate to tell you that. This morning I received a rather concerned telephone call from one of our listeners wanting me to discuss this in some detail with them. Very, very concerned. It's as if all of a sudden, a few people are saying, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe this guy Chris Meyer has been telling us the truth. Maybe, in fact, God's been telling us the truth from the very beginning, and we just didn't want to hear it. Well, the opening words of the book Judgment Day, written by our special guest today, Dave Hunt, are these. The God of the Bible states, I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, before it came to pass, I showed it to you. Only the Bible foretells centuries and even thousands of years in advance major events of world history. Indisputably, Israel is the major topic of biblical prophecy, just as it is of our daily news. The word Israel is found 2,565 times in 2,293 verses in the King James translation of the Bible. Jerusalem is found 811 times. In contrast, the word Jerusalem cannot even be found once in the Islamic Quran. Dave Hunt joining us. Dave, it's astounding that Islam would lay claim as they do to Jerusalem without the word Jerusalem even being referenced once in their most holy book.
Yeah, well, it's astonishing a lot of things that they claim. They managed to twist the truth to rewrite history. Jerusalem never was a holy site for the Muslims. You know that the Ottoman Turkish Empire held it for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was not visited by imams or Muslim leaders. It was never considered a holy place. In fact, the Dome of the Rock, built in 692, if you've probably been there, it has a number of verses from the Quran, beautifully inscribed in Arabic, inside the dome. But Surah 17:1 was not among them. Surah 17:1, I was having a little debate with a Muslim at a university in Southern California, and he said, oh, Jerusalem is too mentioned in the Quran. Where? Surah 17:1. No, it doesn't mention the word Jerusalem. It mentions the word Al-Aqsa, which means the farthest place of worship. And as the some of the top Egyptian writers, Islamic writers, have pointed out, there was no place of worship for a Muslim in Jerusalem. It couldn't possibly have meant Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
They think it was talking about Medina. But anyway, that verse has been put in there only recently, but it was never a place of worship. And yet they say that it is their third holiest site now, and that the Jews must get out. It was a mistake, of course, to allow them to have control over the Temple Mount. That was done by, you remember, the Israeli general with a patch over his eye.
Oh, yes.
And he acted...
Moshe Dayan.
Moshe Dayan, he acted on his own.
Mm-hmm.
It was a unilateral act. The Muslims hadn't asked for it. He thought he would bring peace by doing that, to show the Muslims their good intentions and so forth. And, of course, he was probably an atheist. I'm not sure, but I would guess that. So Jerusalem didn't mean that much to him. But Jerusalem is... God calls it, it's called the city of God. It's called the city of David 44 times in the Bible. This is where David had his headquarters, established this great Israeli empire, really.
Mm-hmm.
And Well, it's dear to the hearts of Jewish people, but not so much the temple if you're not a religious Jew, just Jerusalem. And so I guess that was what Moshe Dayan had in mind.
Well, it seems strange, though, that here Moshe Dayan basically gave away control of the Temple Mount and Jerusalem, basically, to the Muslims. And in spite of that act of goodwill, the Muslims were not satisfied, and they wanted to wipe Israel out. They've attacked Israel several times preemptively. The 67 war, the Six-Day War, 1972, and so on. Now, most recently, we see Israel having pulled out of the Gaza Strip to give the Palestinians what they want. They're not satisfied with that. They come in and attack Israel using the new landlines, border lines, as a way to get closer to Israeli cities. Then they're going to pull out of Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, to give the Palestinians what they want. And now they're blatantly saying, we're going to use that as the new launching pad for rockets all over Israel. Why is it, Dave, that the international community, the entire European Union, Russia, China, the UN, all of these cannot or will not see the utter disingenuousness of the Islamic voices around the world?
Chuck, we talk about that in the book. This is anti-Semitism. It is one of the great proofs that the Bible is God's word. God warned the Jews when he brought them into the land, if you disobey me, I will cast you out, not just next door. I'll scatter you everywhere. You will be hated, persecuted, killed like no other people. You cannot explain anti-Semitism rationally. And indeed, they have been hated and killed like no other people. Now, let me just give you, and the fact, as you said, that the rest of the world doesn't seem to recognize what's going on, that's part of anti-Semitism. Just to give you an idea, the Bible said that Israel would not be accounted among the people. You have, I think, 201 nations in the United Nations right now. 200 of them are allowed to take their rotating term on the Security Council. One nation is not allowed. I'll give our listeners three guesses. The Human Rights Commission, if you can imagine, there are 50 permanent members. I'm sorry, 50 rotating members. Every nation in the world. Terrorist nations, Cuba, I think Sudan, where they've killed more than 2 million in South Sudan, they've just been voted in for their third consecutive term. Zimbabwe, Libya was chair of the Human Rights Commission. If you can imagine that, the irony, these great guardians of human rights.
Mm-hmm.
Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East, not allowed. Israel has only about 3 weeks ago, they were finally, after all these years, allowed to become part of, at least work with the International Red Cross. Now, God said that he would separate these people. They would be different.
Mm-hmm.
And
but doesn't this go back, Dave? You think about the days of Samuel. And Israel came to the prophet Samuel and said, give us a king. We want to have a king like all the other nations. We want to be like them. And Samuel lamented. He went to God, and God said, no, they're not against you, Samuel. They're against me. Give them what they want, but tell them what they're going to get. Tell them the anguish and the pain that they're going to get to be like the other nations. So from that point on, Israel wanted to be reckoned among the nations by having a king. But God says, even though you get a king, you're still not going to be reckoned among the nations.
It's amazing, Chuck. And anti-Semitism, as I said, is one of the great proofs that the Bible is true. It's rather simple. You cannot establish this on a rational basis. But as soon as Satan heard the serpent heard that a virgin-born man, the seed of the woman, would destroy him, would deal the death blow,
mm-hmm.
He was watching for that. And in Genesis 12, when God said, "In you and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," and so forth, Satan knew that the Messiah would be a Jew. And there's no other way to explain the hatred of all the world against Israel. And it's not just the Arabs, but the whole world has joined in this. And, you know, we begin the book with Joel 3, verse 2, where God says, "I'm going to bring all the nations of the world to Jerusalem to punish them for what they've done."
You notice he didn't say a few of the nations. He didn't say many of the nations. He didn't say most of the nations.
Right.
It's all of the nations.
Doesn't
that include, very likely, America?
It includes, for certain, the United States.
Well, think about that.
Every nation.
Dave, one of the things that I think people don't realize, they keep being told that George Bush is the greatest friend Israel ever had, and so on. But really, it's self-serving, because the reality is that two or three presidential administrations ago, the Congress of the United States voted overwhelmingly to establish Jerusalem, the American embassy in Jerusalem.
Right.
William Jefferson Clinton refused to obey Congress. The president of the United States today, George W. Bush, has continued to refuse to obey the Congress to implement that decision. Now, the United States Department of State is even changing birth certificates of people that were born in Israel, in Jerusalem, where they say Jerusalem, Israel. They're now issuing new birth certificates to delete Jerusalem, to just say, or to delete Israel and just say Jerusalem, because they refuse to admit that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel and that the Jewish people are entitled to it. Now, it sounds to me like America, through our laws, through our implementations of our executive branch, is steadfastly setting its face against Israel.
Chuck, the State Department has always been anti-Israel. We document that in the book. America has, under various presidents, has betrayed Israel many times. We refused to let them know. We knew when the 1973 Yom Kippur War was going to take place. Worse than Pearl Harbor for us. And the information sat on President Nixon's desk. He would not tell them. Kissinger hid out in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel for 3 days before he called for emergency session of the UN after the Arab nations had attacked, saying they were going to wipe out Israel. I guess are we coming to a break?
Yes, we are. Yeah. Folks, there's a judgment day coming regarding the nations and our treatment of Israel. We'll talk more about that and allow you to get a copy of Dave's book when we get back. Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and today we're looking at square in the face tremendous events that are taking the world by storm. The nations of the earth, and particularly the leaders of the nations of the earth, are trembling right now in their boots. Let me just share with you some of the headlines here. Russia and France condemn Israeli strikes in Lebanon. This is coming directly from a Moscow newspaper. UN sanctions against Iran will not affect Russian military cooperation with Tehran. Syria calls for Hezbollah ceasefire. Syria is scared to death, quite frankly, friends, because they know that they're about to be embroiled in a major war. Mahmoud Abbas, they're in president of the Palestinians, prime minister of the Palestinians, fears major escalation of war. 2 million Israelis under threat. The Lebanese prime minister is begging Israel not to bomb Beirut, saying the problem is Syria and Iran, trying to defuse. And all over the world, the leaders, the EU, the UN, Kofi Annan from the UN is sending a group to Israel to try to do something to calm the world down. Iran is breathing threatenings and slaughterings. Why is all this going on? What is happening? Well, maybe we can get a clue when we look at the words of the prophet Zechariah going back 2,500 years ago. God, through the prophet Zechariah, said, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." Never did all the people round about join together in common cause to destroy Israel and Jerusalem as now. And this is the first time in Israel's history when this has happened. God goes on to say, "And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, a cup of trembling for Israel's neighbors round about her." Joining us today on Viewpoint, Dave Hunt with his book, Judgment Day, Islam, Israel, and the Nations. I want to make available to you this hardbound book, about 400 pages. He says, "The truth is more devastating than fiction." Your gift of $22 or more to Save America Ministries will put this very significant book. Been a tremendous amount of work put into this book, and you're going to find things in this book you're not going to find anywhere else. Your gift of $22 or more to Save America Ministries will put Judgment Day in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Writing a check at $350 for postage and handling. Dave, a cup of trembling, a burdensome stone. These are horrendous words and portray a time of great unsettling for the world, don't they?
Yes, you were giving a little information out of the book there, Chuck, and let me put it in perspective. We had, you mentioned earlier, President Ahmadinejad of Iran, who has said Israel must be wiped off the map.
Mm-hmm.
And the world says, "Oh my, that's terrible. You shouldn't say things like that." I get a bit angry because there is not one Arab map in the world that even shows Israel's mm-hmm. existence.
Which is already the total disingenuousness
right.
all of the so-called peace efforts of right. The Muslim people.
Yes. They don't even acknowledge that Israel exists, and they are determined to wipe Israel out. Now, they've been saying this sort of thing for forever. And let me just give you some quotes, just as an example,
mm-hmm.
Pertaining to the Six-Day War, 1967. My wife and I and our four young children were actually over there. Here is a speech by Gamal Abdel Nasser. He was the head of Egypt at that time. He was speaking in Alexandria. He said, "I announce from here, on behalf of the United Arab Republic, this time we will exterminate Israel." Well, of course, they've been trying to do that. After they lost the Six-Day War, under his leadership, Arab leaders, heads of state, met in Khartoum, Sudan, August 29th through September 1st, 1967, and they adopted a unanimous declaration called the Three No's. No peace with Israel, no negotiations with Israel, no recognition of Israel. But let me just give a couple of other quotes that were stated at that time. To Egypt's National Assembly, Nasser declared, "We shall enter Palestine with its soil saturated in blood. We aim at the eradication of Israel." The Voice of Arabs radio program announced, "The sole method we shall apply against Israel is total war, which will result in the extermination of Zionist existence." The Syrian defense minister boasted, "We are now ready to enter into a battle of annihilation." Then Nasser said on May 27th, "Our basic objective will be the destruction of Israel. We will not accept any coexistence with Israel." And I, you know, in the book we give you many more quotes. Now, this is only living up to what Muhammad had said. Muhammad said, and we give you the documentation, we give you the references where we're quoting from in the book. Muhammad had said, the last day will not come until the Muslims confront the Jews and the Muslims destroy them. In that day, Allah will give a voice to the rocks and the trees, and they will cry out, O Muslim, O Abdullah, O son, O servant of Allah, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him. Now, it is some kind of a joke. I don't know what you would call it. Worse than ironic, that the world keeps pushing Israel. Make peace with these people. Make peace with these people. Now, you gave us headlines from Russia and elsewhere condemning Israel.
Yeah.
Condemning Israel for what? For defending themselves.
Well, the latest is trying to say, well, yes, Israel has a right to defend herself, but your military ability is so much greater than the Palestinians and the Hezbollah and so on. You should limit your military capability and use sticks and stones to fight these people so that it's a fair fight.
Yeah,
that's the latest.
It's like disciplining a child with one finger and shaking it at them. Oh, don't do this. That's terrible. No, you have to. If Israel does not act with force, that's the only thing that these people respect. And Israel is forced by their circumstances. You know, no one's going to come to their rescue. For example, when Saddam Hussein had developed nuclear capabilities, what does the UN do? They just sit around and wring their hands and, oh my, well, let's see if we can't negotiate and so forth. Israel went in there and took out his nuclear establishment, just took it right out. And then Israel was condemned by the world, condemned by the UN, including the United States. But then, of course, what are we doing? We went in there to try to find these weapons, and I think they were all taken out to Lebanon, Bekaa Valley, or some of them in Syria. And so
I think what we really went in to find was oil, so that we could control the Middle East with regard to oil. And we did the same thing in Afghanistan. In fact, just a few years before we went into Afghanistan, a vice president for Unocal Oil testified before Congress that the U.S. couldn't put its Unocal couldn't get a pipeline into to transport its oil through the Middle East except through Afghanistan, and the Taliban wouldn't approve it. And so begging the U.S. and our Congress to intervene somehow and to allow us to get through there. So in what we did, we went in and we said, okay, we'll attack the Taliban. And so now we get the pipeline through. So oil is a major, it may not be the only thing, but it is a major thing that we refuse to admit.
Well, it's a big motivation for the West.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was why we have been... Look, we play both sides of the game here.
That's what we're doing.
We have betrayed Israel so many times.
Will God judge us for that, Dave?
Well, you quoted it earlier. Right? One of the first things I deal with in the book, Joel 3, verse 2, God is going to bring all the nations...
to the Valley of Jehoshaphat.
Right. Mm. To punish them. And that's a remarkable prophecy.
Well, that's where you get the title of your book, Judgment Day.
Chuck, you point out that...
We're going into a break,
okay,
Dave. Let's pick that up after the break. Friend, you got to get a copy of Dave's book, $22 or more to Save America Ministries. Call us. God is doing something on this earth in preparation for judging the nations. That's a statement in the leading chapter of our special guest book, Dave Hunt, in his book, Judgment Day. The title of that chapter, The Stage is Set. Indeed, the stage is set. We're seeing all the players come into the stage. We've been watching it happen for the last several years, and now... the thing is escalating, and the leaders of the world are trembling in their proverbial boots. Joining us today on Viewpoint, Dave Hunt, with his wonderful book, Judgment Day, your gift of $22 or more to Save America Ministries. We'll put this hardbound book, 400 pages, in your hands. It contains information the likes of which you will probably not find anywhere. elsewhere. And would urge you to call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check at $350 for postage and handling, check on our website, saveus.org, where you'll be able to find this, along with many other books and materials, Discipling for Destiny, Preparing Us for the Times That Are Coming, and Strengthening, Encouraging Your Life in so many, many different ways. www.saveus or saveus.org, where you can listen to this program anytime of the day or night, anywhere in the world. All right, with that having been said, Dave, let's get back to you. Before the break, we were heading into some new territory there, and I had to interrupt you.
Yeah, well, Chuck, you mentioned several amazing prophecies. We deal with prophecies in this book.
Yes.
One of them, just quickly to go over it, Zechariah 12:2 declares that all of Israel's, this in the last days, all of Israel's neighbors would be united against her. And as you pointed out, that never happened in history. They fought one another. They were enemies of one another. Today, they are all united against Israel for the first time in history. What unites them? Islam. And then the next verse says that Israel would be a burden to the entire world. The United Nations has spent one-third of its time debating, pronouncing, condemning, and so forth, about Israel, a tiny nation that has 1/1,000th of the Earth's population. I would say that's a fulfillment of this prophecy. And then I was about to refer to Joel 3, verse 2, where you mentioned it earlier, Chuck, where God said, I'm going to bring all the nations of this world to Jerusalem, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, to punish them for what they've done to my people.
And that's a fulfillment, by the way, of the prophecy made through Moses back in the book of Deuteronomy, isn't it?
Exactly. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 63-64.
Mm-hmm.
But then God says, I'm going to punish all nations. And you pointed out, that means all nations. That includes the United States. And we document why that the United States is going to come under this judgment, too. But anyway, I'm going to punish all nations for dividing my land. Now, that is another remarkable prophecy. Never was the land of Israel divided until our generation. Well, I'm a little bit older than many of the listeners, so I say our generation. It was the British Empire that was lost because of their what they did to the Jews. They were supposed to see that this place called Palestine became the national home of the Jewish people scattered all over the world. Instead, they let Arabs in, kept Jews out, and for oil, as you pointed out, they gave much of it away, most of it, in fact, to form the nation of Jordan. And they finally, UN Resolution 181, November 29, 1947, it is called the partition of the land. The nations of this world joined together to partition Israel, and Israel ended up with 13% of the land that God had given to them.
You know, it reminds me, Dave, of what happened with Jesus on the cross and the Roman soldiers, representative of the then most powerful empire covering the face of the earth, parted his raiment.
Right.
Now Israel itself is being parted by the resurrected Roman Empire, even parsing it out to enemies of that empire, Muslims. It is astounding.
Exactly. And Chuck, every peace proposal, so-called, since then, including President Bush's roadmap to peace, what is it all about? Israel? Give them more land. Give them more land. We just pressured Israel to pull out of Gaza, and now they're back in there. But it's always divide the land, divide the land. And the lie, well, Israel, if you would just give them a little more land. And then this whole Palestinian lie, again, we document that in the book. Palestinian, there never was a place called Palestine. Abraham came into the land of Canaan. Not a word about Palestine or Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
This was, Chuck, as you know, I quote, Ahmed Shukri, for example, 1956, an Arab leader over there testifying to the UN. And he says, Palestine, there's no such place. Palestinians, those are the Jews. Palestine, that's a Zionist invention. The Jews were called Palestinians, not the Arabs. They refused to be called it. 8 years later, 1964, Ahmed Shukri became the founding chairman of the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO. They change their tune, they lie, they rewrite history. And Chuck, what really angers me is the world accepts it. And this becomes the basis for a so-called peace that they're going to force on Israel. Israelis are occupying Palestinian land. No, the so-called Palestinians are occupying Israel's land, and God says, I am angry, and I am going to punish all the nations of this world for defying me and dividing that land.
All right. And you're absolutely right, and you set the stage properly in your book. You've gone through the hard facts that we need to come to grips with, the history of hatred, the history of peace, and so on. The truth about the refugees, all of this is documented to the max in your book. Here is an aspect that nobody really wants to talk about. And I want to shift for just a quick moment here as we move toward the end of the program. We've been talking about God judging the nations. We're talking about the Gentile nations. We're talking about the Goyim. We have been in the season of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, and now it's shifting to Israel, the central focus of the world. But here's the deal. God wanted Israel to trust him. When he called Israel out of Egypt, he called them to rely upon him, to trust him. He tested them for 40 years in the wilderness. He provided their every need. Their shoes didn't wear out. He protected them at every point. Now, they wanted a king. He gave them a king. Now, believe it or not, Dave, Israel has been toying with the idea of trying to get into the EU. Can you believe that? Now, here's the EU that every poll shows that the European people, they think Israel is the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous nations on earth, coupled with the U.S. They think it's worse than the Muslim nations. But Israel wants to be part of the EU. Israel wants to be reckoned among the nations. Israel refuses to trust God and has gone back to Egypt in her heart once again. And God is going to judge Israel double for all her sins. Even more than the nations of the earth, Israel is going to be judged. In fact, doesn't he say that two-thirds of all Israel will die? Zechariah chapter 11.
Zechariah chapter 13, actually. Two-thirds of all Jews on this earth will be killed. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says it's the time of Jacob's trouble.
All right, and that's just exactly double what the book of Revelation says is going to happen to the Gentile world. One-third, God's going to destroy one-third of all on the planet in his judgment. That's one-third, but two-thirds of Israel is going to be judged. God doesn't mess around when he give to whom much is given, much is required. What are the implications of that for so-called Christian America?
Well, the nations will all be punished, but Israel, God is going to break the hard heart of the Jewish people. And Jesus said as he was being led to the cross, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.'" Israel will be brought to the point of, well, they will be about to be destroyed, mm-hmm. because as good as they are, they're the best in the world. You can't stand up against the whole world. Mm-hmm. And they will be broken to where they will cry out for the true Messiah to rescue them. That's Zechariah chapter 12. And he will come and rescue them. Zechariah 14, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. He will come back. And Jesus said, except those days be shortened, no flesh would survive. So, Chuck, the Bible is just fantastic. And I tell people, it tells us what is going on in the Middle East, why it is happening, and where it is going. And that's what this book is about, Judgment Day. And we're heading for real judgment upon the world.
Well, we're right there, and unfortunately, we're having a judgment of time coming to the end right here. Dave, I sure appreciate your joining us here on Viewpoint today. The truth is more devastating than fiction, friend. Judgment Day, Islam, Israel, and the Nations. Hardbound book, 400-some pages. Your gift of $22 or more to Save America Ministries. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, and I want to urge you to become a partner with us. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Dave, day after day, please don't wait for the other guy to do it. You join with us in partnership to get out the truth of God's word to the nations, even to warn God's people, you see, because judgment will begin first at the house of God. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. God bless you, and be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.